Oscar weekend, everybody. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment's Oscar special right here on KPHX 1480 AM, live from Phoenix, Arizona. I am your esteemed host for today, Joseph J. Erdo. We've got Dave Isaac on location today, which we'll hear a little bit more from him a little bit later on in the show. And boy, Eric, aren't you excited? The Oscars are on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to get my swag bag.
I know. You sound excited, you know?
I'm terribly excited.
I know. You know what? I can't wait for that swag bag either. I don't want
to pay the taxes on it.
I know. But it should be fun. All the festivities start tomorrow at around noon our time in Arizona. And I cannot wait. It's always. Are you gonna watch them?
Maybe, I don't know. Not into award ceremonies really.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna check them out, and I of course I have to watch them. I'm a film critic. I'm a member of the Phoenix Film Critics Society, and I am very excited that I'm gonna make some snacks tomorrow. And of course we've got some great guests on today's show. And like I said, Dave Isaac will be joining us a little bit later on in the show, in our second half hour. He's on location at the Sedona International Film Festival. But so today it's just me and across the glass, my name, Joseph J. Erdo, as I said, and Eric Reinert across the glass, getting some of our hosts on the line, of our guests on the line, presenters for this evening, I guess, right? And of course, Kathleen is also across the glass. How are you doing, Kathleen? Thumbs up.
She said great.
Good. She says great. Okay. No, she said good, Eric.
She said great.
She said great?
Great.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not good at reading lips.
You're not a lip reader.
I'm not a rip leader either.
She said it's good to see you, Joseph.
Thank you. It's great to see all of you. And you like my suit and tie? Looking good?
Huh? Yeah. Tux. You're outfitted in a tux today.
Oh, thank you. Thank
and
you very
you've
much.
Even got a, what do they call that, a boutonniere?
I do. That's for the ladies.
Nice.
I'll take it off and I'll throw it off to a lucky lady sometime during today's broadcast.
Great.
And as I said, some great guests today. In about 15 minutes or so, we've got comedian Dylan Brody will be joining us. At some point during today's show, I might give you my thoughts on the new films Fist Fight and Collide. And those look like some good films, right, Eric?
Which ones?
Fist Fight and Collide.
I don't know what Fist Fight is. Okay. Collide, I'm trying to reach into the depths of my memory to find out, remember what that was.
Well, I'll get your memory pumping there in about maybe...
Who's in it?
That's Nicholas Holt and Felicity Jones and Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And Fist Fight's that movie with Ice Cube and Charlie Day.
Okay, now I know both of them.
Yeah. Neither one of them is probably going to win any Oscars, but
no. But
let's talk about some movies that might win some Oscars. Let's bring on our one of our very special guests today, Chris Gardner with the Hollywood Reporter. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I feel a little bit underdressed now that I know that you're wearing a tuxedo already.
It's a T-shirt with an imprint of a tuxedo.
Hey, Eric, the come on, give it all, give away all that stuff. I'm saving my actual suit for tomorrow.
And what kind of hat is that? Is that a fedora?
I think kind of like a fedora, yeah, from World Market, Cost Plus. But so, are you, Chris? Tell us a little bit about who you are, first of all, with the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, my name is Chris Gardner. I'm a staff writer with The Hollywood Reporter. I write a column called The Rambling Reporter, which has a long history at the magazine. It's sort of, you know, the easiest way to describe it is to call it a gossip column, but it's less a tabloid gossip column and more like an industry gossip column covering a lot of events around town and just what people are talking about. I do cover a lot of big events here and a lot of red carpets, including the Oscars, where I will be tomorrow.
Oh, exciting. So you will be there. Are you on the red carpet or are you going inside?
Yeah, actually, for the second year in a row, I have a seat inside. Oh. I'm sitting in the first mezzanine, which is like the first deck up above where the real famous people sit. And I'm seated next to our awards guru, a guy named Scott Feinberg. So I always joke that I have the best date in town because I sit next to the guy who's been covering this more intimately than anyone else in town. And so I get a little bit of an inside track on what his reactions are and sort of... the history of it all, because he's got an amazing encyclopedic memory when it comes to the Academy Awards. So it's a really fun seat to have, and it's really exciting to be in that room.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I've never been to any award ceremony like that. The best I've been to is the Phoenix Film Festival award ceremony, and we don't really get dressed up for that. So will you be wearing all your finest tomorrow?
I'm wearing all my finest, but you know, I could always borrow your tuxedo T-shirt at a later date. No, but yeah, I wear a tuxedo, and then after the show, I do a little bit of party hopping, and tomorrow for the first time, I'll go to Vanity Fair's big Oscar party.
Oh, exciting! You know, Eric, even one of our favorite guests from the Chew, Carla Hall, she's going to be there at the Oscars, but she's only doing the red carpet. She doesn't get to sit inside. So this is really cool.
What? People walk the red carpet without actually attending?
Well, to interview the people, right? Some people just do that, right, Chris?
She's interviewing.
Yeah, that's usually what I do, is just stand on, not for the Oscars necessarily, but for other shows, always stand on the red carpet and then just head home, because you know there are only a limited number of seats. But you know, the funny thing about the Oscars, which a lot of people may not know, is that there are I think thousands of people. I think that the Dolby seats, like, I don't know, maybe up to a couple thousand, 3,000 to 5,000 people. I don't have an exact number in front of me, but so there are plenty of people who are there who are not, you know, Meryl Streep and mm-hmm. and Jennifer Aniston. There are a lot of like industry pros. There are a lot of sponsors who get tickets, and they seat in the upper mezzanine levels, which you only see in the wide shots that scan the audience. Otherwise, you know, you just assume that it's all famous people and the nominated talent who sit down below, but there are many guests who get to go, so you never know. Maybe someday you'll get to be there.
I hope so. I am, like I said at the start of the show, a member of the Phoenix Film Critics Society, so I have seen most of the films nominated. I probably should have seen them all by now, but still have a few stragglers that I have yet to see. Personally, my favorite has got to be La La Land. I hope it just sweeps, and I think that it will. What are your personal opinions on what should win, and what do you think will win, just in general?
Well, you know, well, you mentioned the film that everyone has been buzzing about for so many months, and even more recently following the nominations, because La La Land got 14 nominations, and no other film in history, aside from Titanic and All About Eve, has received that number of nominations. And both of those films went on to win Best Picture. So it is the odds-on favorite to win Best Picture for sure, and to win a number of those awards from the 14 nominations. There are a lot of expectations around it, so we can expect to see it win Best Picture. We can expect to see its director, Damien Chazelle, mm-hmm. win for Best Director, making him the youngest director to ever win that prize. He's 32 years old. He's won pretty much every top award heading into Sunday's big show, so that seems to be pretty much a lock. And then, you know, everyone's talking about Emma Stone winning for Best Actor. She's won a lot of the big prizes heading in, including the Screen Actors Guild Award, which can be a good precursor to who's going to win the Oscars.
And Emma, of course, is from right here in Arizona, Phoenix,
yeah,
Arizona.
Of course.
They're having
Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. She's having a big. I interviewed her mother when she was still like in Superbad and all those movies, I guess.
Oh, wow.
But she,
Are there any big plans there to have? Is there a big Oscar party, viewing party to watch her?
There actually is. Her? Yes, at the Valley Youth Theater where she got her start. They're having a big to do, 21 plus, and I don't know anything about the tickets or all that, but I know that everyone's going to be cheering her on, all of her friends, her family, and I believe that you have to have the certain dress code. You have to dress as you are going to the Oscars.
Oh, fun. That's great.
Yeah, so that should be great. And so what are some other big categories? Any surprises?
Some surprises, yeah. Well, I think a category that people will be watching closely, not only because it's Best Actress, that's one of the top categories, but, you know, Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea won a lot of big prizes heading into the Oscars, and many expected him to win for his work in Manchester by the Sea. But Denzel Washington won the SAG Award and has picked up a couple other awards for his work in Fences. And, you know, Denzel directed Fences and stars in it alongside Viola Davis, and she's expected to win. But many people say that that could be a bit of a surprise that he could win over Casey Affleck. I on my personal Oscar ballot, picked Casey Affleck because I did think that his work just because I guess based on so many of the awards that he won, not excluding SAG Award, because that is a good precursor, as I mentioned. But so that could be a surprise. I mean, but you know, either way, both of them are phenomenal talents, and Denzel has already won before, and so this would be Casey's first. And sometimes the Academy does like to honor people for, you know, a first prize or to give it to people who are overdue. Denzel isn't overdue necessarily, but he did turn in a performance that was captivating and tremendous, and in a film that he also directed, so that's not easy. Let's see, what are some other surprises?
I want to remind our listeners, we are speaking with Chris Gardner with The Hollywood Reporter about tomorrow night's Oscar ceremony, kind of like an all-day event for all of us who just love films and all that. And what about the animated category?
Well, that's always a really fun category to watch, too. You know, many people are expecting Zootopia to win. Mm-hmm. It has won a lot of awards and all of the big awards leading up to Sunday show. And I know I mentioned that a couple times, but those awards really helped determine people, the voting categories for how the Oscar voters will go, because many of these animated groups are also members of the Academy and can give a good insight into who went. But aside from that, Zootopia just has some themes that some political themes and some themes about just the world and getting along and harmony and things that you know, speak to the larger cultural landscape that we're living in right now, but packaged in an animated film that many could see as just a kid's movie, but it's not. It's a movie for everyone. Mm-hmm. So people expect that to win. What did you see? Did you have a favorite in that category?
I think my favorite in that category wasn't even nominated. Trolls.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. But I mean, I don't know. Finding Dory wasn't even nominated, right?
No, Finding Dory wasn't nominated, and that a lot of people thought that was a surprise, because the first one was so well received and it won, and you know, but it was just up against a lot of competition this year. I mean,
yeah.
Zootopia is a great movie. You know, The Red Turtle is an international film, and that was also a really good movie. Moana has gotten a lot of recognition thus far. It also has a song nominated in the Best Song category, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So there was a lot of competition this year, as there always is, but this year in particular.
Right. And in you mentioned the political themes and whatnot of Zootopia. I know that's been a lot of on people's mind. That I don't know if they're some people are turned off to the Oscars because some people, some celebrities have been using this as a platform for politics this year. Any predictions on that front?
Yes, my prediction is if you don't like politics, you probably shouldn't tune in. Although I hate to say no one should skip the I hate to say anyone should skip the Oscars, because yeah. I think it's incredibly important. But yeah, I mean, I think at this stage of the game, you can't expect not to see some politics on stage, because it's just the world we're living in right now, and these are artists, and artists have a long history of speaking out. And when you separate the fact that many of them are well paid and famous, at the end of the day, they're artists who are making a living, and we can't deny artists. That's what they do. They speak out about their lives, what they see around them, and about culture and about politics. So, but you know, I understand it. Some people just want to be entertained and they want to see a really fun show free of politics and free of the news that they can see when they turn on the TV and look at CNN. But you know, I was at an Oscar party last night, and Meryl Streep spoke briefly, and you know, she got so much attention, and rightfully so, for her Golden Globe speech when she received the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and she spoke out against Donald Trump. And last night, she jokingly said the first thing that came out of her mouth pretty much was just that I don't want to talk again ever, because I think that she realizes anything she says gets so much attention. But at the same time, you know, you can't really escape politics now. And that, I guess that's unfortunate for people who want to tune in and just see a really fun show. But I should say, you know, this isn't it's not a political show. I mean, there will be some really great moments, and you can count on that. There's some really fun performances lined up. Justin Timberlake's going to perform. Lin-Manuel Miranda's going to perform. Jimmy Kimmel's the host. He is a lovable late-night host who will probably make a couple Donald Trump jokes, because how can he not? But at the same time, his brand of humor is much more mainstream and much more... he's just a really likable, fun guy. And, you know, he's got this ongoing rib with Matt Damon, and they filmed a bit. So you can expect there to be some really fun, genuinely comedic moments that have nothing to do with politics, but you can expect that somebody is going to say something about Donald Trump.
Well, Chris, we've got to wrap up the interview in just a minute, but since you mentioned the performances, one of my favorite categories that I know sometimes they kind of like get shortchanged and sometimes they don't even do those performances, best original song in a motion picture. Any favorites there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's such a tough call. I'm a huge fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda. He obviously is the guy who created Hamilton, and so he's nominated against Justin Timberlake. But I sort of think that the song City of Stars from La La Land is probably going to win, and that's what I picked in my personal ballot. I mean, I hate to pick favorites, but because I think they're all worthy and amazing songs, but I expect to see some continued love for La La Land with City of Stars winning.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we are playing the songs that are nominated throughout today's show.
Oh, great.
My personal pick would be Can't Stop the...
Can't Stop the Feeling. You
Can't
love
Stop
your
the Feeling.
Trolls.
Yes, from Trolls. I do love my Trolls. And before we let you go, Chris Gardner, The Hollywood Reporter, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, yeah, please. You can follow me tomorrow on Twitter at Chris Gardner, and it's C-H-R-I-S, another S for my middle name, and my last name is Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. So follow me on Twitter. Also follow HollywoodReporter.com for all the latest news and updates. You can also follow THR on Twitter. They'll be retweeting a lot of my live tweets from inside the show. And also follow my buddy Scott Feinberg, who's my colleague, who will be seated next to. And you can also find me on Instagram. I'll be posting some stuff there too. And I'm on Instagram at Christopher Gardner.
Excellent. And any periscoping at all?
I'm not doing any periscoping. Okay. You know, I would love to, but I'm focusing on tweeting during the show. And what I can tell you too, if you want to follow me, is that I'm going to be trying to be tweeting a lot of stuff between commercial breaks and stuff that you can't see while you're watching the main show.
Excellent. I'm very excited right now because we are periscoping today's show, as we always do, and at Breakthrough Entertainment. And I guess I hashtagged Oscars and hashtag Academy Awards, and instead of hearts, I'm getting popcorn. Buckets of popcorn.
Oh, great.
So that's very cool. But again, Chris Gardner with The Hollywood Reporter, thank you so much for joining us and helping us celebrate the Oscars. I hope you have an absolute blast tomorrow night, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, anytime. Thank you guys so much for having me. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, take care.
And that's so much fun. I cannot wait for tomorrow night's Oscars. I think we might talk a little bit more about that in a couple minutes with our next guest, Dylan Brody, comedian Dylan Brody. But before we get to that, we need to not stop the that feeling. Justin Timberlake, Anna Kendrick from Trolls. My pick for best original song at the Oscars tomorrow night. Keep it tuned right here to KPHX 1480 AM Breakthrough Entertainment's Oscars special. We'll be right back.